You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show with myself, Robert Lee, as we look back on a fantastic year on the European Tour. Over the next half an hour or so, we'll hear from some of the players who have made a real impact in 2015, including England's Andy Sullivan.
If I felt like I was going to win somewhere first, I felt like it was always going to be in South Africa, where it seemed to play quite well down there, and obviously beat someone of Charles' calibre in the playoff was unbelievable.
Plus the man who conquered Woburn to become the British Master, a real golfing prospect, Matt Fitzpatrick.
I think winning the British Masters has obviously got to be very special for me, but I've got to admit also, just last week, learning that I'm definitely going to be in the Masters next year, that was really special.
We'll also hear from the BMW PGA champion and Rookie of the Year, Korea's Ben An.
It's once in your lifetime, the European Tour. You can get it once in your lifetime, and I worked hard on it, played great this season, and a lot of good rookies play against it, and well, it's hard to describe it, but it's definitely worth getting it.
Much more from Ben An, Matt and Andy to come as we look back at a year which took the European Tour from Malaysia to Mauritius, China to the Czech Republic, the UK to the UAE, and all points in between, so stay with us. And I'm very pleased that alongside me today is Ewan Murray. Ewan, it's been some season on the European Tour and you've seen most of it.
It's been truly magnificent from start to finish, as you say, all these countries that we've visited. The thing that's impressed me more than anything is the youngsters that have come through. They're not scared to win anymore. They don't have to serve an apprenticeship to try and win anymore. They seem to be ready when they arrive.
Who caught your eye out through the season?
Many. Ben An, for sure. The one at Wentworth in a high-quality field on a very difficult golf course. Matt Fitzpatrick, 10 times in the top eight at the age of 21. That was fairly special for me as well. We have Andy Sullivan, another one who broke all records, 3 victories, very nearly 4. If you look at the DP World Championship, the Earth Course gave Rory a run for his money there. So there's so many highlights, but I think more than anything, it's the state of the game right now, because it's not just the youngsters on the European Tour, it's the world over, the Far East, America and Europe. Terrific.
And of course, the European Tour has a young man as our spearhead, Rory McIlroy. What do you make of his end to the season with his protracted summer and the injury?
It was a very difficult summer, obviously, missing the best tournaments, missing the Open Championship that he wouldn't have wanted to miss, especially after his performance at Hoylake the year before. I still see McIlroy as the number one player in the world, given top form, clean bill of health, and that's nothing to say against Jordan Spieth or indeed Jason Day, because they're two magnificent young players as well. But there's something about McIlroy, call it the X factor, call it what you will, he has it.
Well, one of the players that we were talking about was Andy Sullivan, and very good to know that Andy's on the line right now. Andy, how are you? You must be enjoying a little bit of downtime.
Yeah, you know, it's been a long, hard season, so it's nice to have a few weeks off now and spend a bit of time with the family over Christmas.
Is it possible for you to pick out a highlight?
You know, it's just been an absolute fantastic year. And I think I just can't put my finger on just one thing. You know, I think it's just been a real breakthrough year for me, and it just littered with highlights for me. You know, obviously at the start of the year to play with Rory and Martin was, for me, you know, out of this world. And at the time, I couldn't quite believe I got drew with them. So, I mean, for me, that was probably one of the biggest highlights of the year for me, really.
Andy, I take it you're still smiling.
Always.
Always. What's the difference between this season and previous seasons?
You know, I think I've just tried to let my personality show on the golf course a little bit more. I think I was almost trying too hard in the years gone by and not letting sort of my golf show it and getting in my own way a little bit. So just literally from the outset this year, just tried to be happy out on the course and just enjoy it, let my personality show. I think obviously it's worked really well for me, you know, and I think it's let my golf get up to that next level, which was fantastic.
Of all the things, all the accolades and all the little trinkets that you've collected throughout the season, which is the one that means the most to you?
The first one, South African Open. It's just obviously littered with history and people that have won that event. It's, you know, there's a lot of great goals in the Hall of Fame on it and stuff, so to win that one as my first was just incredible, obviously. When I finished my round that day, I didn't expect to be in a playoff an hour later. So to go on and win it from there was just incredible.
And to win it against Charles Schwartzler, a major champion playing in his home country?
Yeah, you know, it's like I say, I mean, for me, it was, if I felt like I was going to win somewhere first, it felt like it was always going to be in South Africa, where it seemed to play quite well down there, and obviously beat someone of Charles' calibre in the playoff was unbelievable. So, you know, still sometimes go to bed thinking about that playoff and that shot he hit. I don't, like I say, if I took 100 balls down, I don't think I could hit the same shot again if I was on it.
Well, that was at the start of the year. You closed out in Dubai, and a thrilling weekend there at the Earth Course.
Yeah, I mean, literally just couldn't have ripped the year off any better for me. You know, obviously I'd have loved to put down Rory, but, you know, that putt on 17, it's what world-class players do. And when I missed my putt for birdie there, and I said to my, turned around to my caddy and said, expect him to hole it, and sure enough he did. So, but, you know, you expect things like that from Rory. He's that good. So, but another gent the whole way around, you know, I felt really at ease out there, and think he made that easy for me, you know. Didn't really try and intimidate me with, you know, with the silence and stuff. He was very talkative on the course, which made it easy for me, I think.
But, you know, Andy, you went toe-to-toe with, you can argue there's three players, Day, Spieth and Rory, which one's the best player in the world. But on his day, Rory probably is the number one player in the world, and you went toe-to-toe. How much does that make you grow as a player?
Yeah, you know, obviously, it took me a few days to get over it. I was a bit disappointed, not going to lie, for 2 days after sort of thing, but then you start reflecting on actually what happened on that week and take massive strides for that for me to go into this season and try and push on now. You know, obviously played fantastic on that Sunday, and like I said, took Rory all the way, took him close. So for me going forward, it's a massive boost for me, you know.
You've broken into the world's top 50, so many doors are open to you now. So scheduling very important for you next year.
Yeah, no, it'll be a nice problem to have, and to pencil in the majors, and hopefully the World WGCs is going to be fantastic. Played the last three majors last season and felt like, not that I was at my depth, but had a lot to learn in them, you know. Didn't quite take the form that I had from the European Tour into the majors, and been lucky enough with Justin Rose, has been absolutely fantastic to me when I play in the majors. Always wanted to play practice around me, and it's a good guy to have to pick his brains at how to go about it and stuff. So I feel like the next time I get a chance at playing the majors, I'm going to be a little bit more better off and better equipped to go out there and have a go at it, you know.
And Andy, with those big events coming your way, it gives you a real opportunity maybe to make the next Ryder Cup side. How much of that is in your thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think quite a few people are saying it, and don't get me wrong, I'd love to play and. But I think there's a long way to go. And, you know, for me, I've got to go out there and play just as well as I did this season for me. So, long way to go. And I don't really want to get ahead of myself. I'm obviously thinking about it now and again. I know ultimately if I've got to go out there and just do what I did last season and try and be happy on the course and let my golf show. And hopefully that will be good enough to get me in that side.
Do you know what I'd really look forward to watching is if you make the Ryder Cup side, every time you nail a putt against the Americans, you just give them that lovely smile every single time.
Yeah, I think it'd be quite patronising for quite a few of them, though.
So how nice is Christmas going to be?
You know, it's going to be awesome, to be fair. You know, it's just I love being in and eating and with my family and friends. With the little one now, she's 2.5, Ruby, so she's just starting to realise what Christmas is all about, and obviously we've got another one on the way in May, so exciting times ahead. So Christmas is going to be a very fruitful and enjoyable time here at Nuneaton.
Listen, Andy, have a fantastic Christmas with your family. You've thrilled us this year, and we're really looking forward to seeing what you do when you play all the big events and that run up to the Ryder Cup as well in 2016.
Thank you very much, Rob. Cheers, appreciate it.
You can't help but be enthused by the way he goes about his life. He's fantastic, great guy.
Now, and he's won a tremendous amount of fans over the course of the last 12 months since he's enjoyed that golden period. But, you know, you talk about the Ryder Cup there, I can just see him and Patrick Reed, Hazeltine, roles reversed, Andy with a big smile, forefinger over the mouth, trying to silence the American galleries. I'd pay quite a lot to see that.
Do you know what? It's amazing when you think about who might be in the next two teams for the Americans and for the Europeans. We might see a lot of changes.
I'm sure. I think there's going to be half the team will be a nucleus and half the team will be new. And that's not just for the European side, the Americans as well.
Yeah, fantastic prospect. It really will be. Hazeltine will be electric. It will. And do you think the Americans might go in as favourites this time, even though they've had a really bad run?
Well, they have so many wonderful young players that are performing so well in major championships. But as we said earlier, we've got some great talent coming through there. And I think the most important thing is they are not scared to win. They almost expect to win now. It's very different from what it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, why do you think the change has come like that? Because we've had players come out of college before and do the American system, but now it does seem like you say, you know, you get your card, you're a rookie, and you're not doing your apprenticeship, you're just ready to go.
The preparation is so much better. The Challenge Tour is a great thing to have on the European Tour. It's a breeding ground, and it prepares them for the test that lies ahead on the major tour. It's the same with the Web.com Tour in the United States. They play four rounds every week. They learn how to negotiate four rounds and learn to win during these four rounds. They sleep on leads. They come from four or five behind. So when they do come on to their main tours, they're ready.
OK, let's hear from Ben Ann now. He won the prestigious Sir Henry Cotton Rookie of the Year Award after finishing seventh on the Race to Dubai and claiming the BMW PGA Championship. He's been reflecting on an amazing 12 months with our man Nick Dye, who began by asking him what it meant to claim the Rookie of the Year title.
It's a once in your lifetime, the European Tour. You only can get it once in your lifetime. And I worked hard on it, played great this season. A lot of good player, good rookies play against it. And it's hard to describe it, but it's definitely worth getting it.
Well, it's obviously been a good year, but it was a good race as well, wasn't it? Going right down the wire over those last few events.
Oh, yes, until the last event, final day and final hole, I think. Got to the last point, and it was so close, I had no idea I was going to get it. But I've done my work, and I'm really happy with the season I had. So, no regrets, definitely. I play really well.
Are you conscious of who's won it in the past? Because you're joining quite an elite band here.
Oh, yes, I've seen some names, definitely. Some great players out there, and it's definitely, like I say, it's glad to be part of that award.
What is it to be the first Asian winner of it? Is that something special as well?
Yeah, of course, I think. I mean, it's the first Asian, and hopefully it brings more Asians to play in European Tour and grow the tour bigger, definitely. And still a lot of guys ask me if European Tour is a good tour to play on. I was like, obviously, yes, 100%, and it definitely grew my game. And I definitely recommend them to come over, and I'm sure they can do it. And it's a great tour to start with and, to play in. So, it's good to get it and hopefully leads the way.
Another fine young man, Ben. And what do you think's the more impressive thing in his rookie season, Ewan, winning the BMW PGA Championship or finishing seventh in the Race to Dubai?
I would say both remarkable achievements, outstanding achievements from Ben Ann. I honestly would have given the Rookie of the Year award to Matt Fitzpatrick because of the consistency he showed, but Ben Ann finished higher up in the Race to Dubai. He won one of the big events, the BMW PGA Championship. So in the end, I think he's a worthy winner. And some great winners down the years. You look at back in the 70s, Carl Mason, who won 25 times on the Senior Tour. You had Ian Poulter in the year 2000. He was Rookie of the Year. And I suspect that we're going to hear an awful lot from Ben Ann in the course of the next two decades.
And, it's rather nice that a Korean player has become Rookie of the Year, kind of emphasising how international the European Tour is.
Well, you look at Wai Yang, the first major champion from the Far East. Then we have Ben Ann as Rookie of the Year and up there in the top 10 in his very first season. And one mustn't forget, we talked about the Challenge Tour. He finished third in that last year, so this was a natural progression for him. But super season.
Well, the man Ben Ann pipped for the Rookie of the Year was Matthew Fitzpatrick, who had a wonderful first season on the European Tour. He finished 12th on the Race to Dubai and claimed his debut win. Just the small matter of a wire-to-wire victory at the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports. And I'm pleased to say that Matt is on the line right now. Matt, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. I've got Ewan Murray alongside me in the studio, and you must be tired after just getting off a plane from Thailand.
Yeah, a little bit. It was a long journey home, but no, it's really nice to be back in the UK, and it's actually really nice to be in the cold weather, I'm not going to lie.
Matt, you've had many highlights, and what was a brilliant season. What's the moment you look back on with a lot of pride?
I think winning the British Masters has obviously got to be very special for me, but I've got to admit also, just last week, just learning that I'm definitely going to be in the Masters next year, that was really special for me, and I really didn't think I'd achieve it so quickly again, to be back within 2 years after being an amateur last time. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. Every golfer knows how special Augusta is. And for me, having a taste of it while I was an amateur, it was certainly something I wanted to do again. And the only way of that was to do it through the professional ranks. And so far, it's been a good year. And it was nice to get that invitation.
It's been a great year for you. The win at Woburn was sensational, but also your consistency through the season, Matt. In double figures for top 10 finishes, what was the key to that? What was the reason that you were able to churn out the results?
I'm not too sure. I think one thing maybe that I actually started hitting a fade from Switzerland, which was where I finished second, and from then, I've just played with that shape, which is not what I've played with all my life, if I'm honest, and just felt more consistent. My bad shots weren't quite as destructive and just took it from there, really. It's been good.
Would you consider that a bit of a risk then, to go against what was your natural shape?
I guess so, but it sort of happened naturally, to be fair. We were playing in Switzerland, and normally I was hitting a draw and played the practice rounds, and really I was trying to draw it, just really struggled. So I just said to my caddy, I said, let's just go with it. And then when we actually sat down and went through the holes, the Crans Montana is definitely a faders course, I think. I mean, there's a couple of holes that don't suit it maybe, but yeah, I feel like it helped that week and just took it from that week, really. And it was such a positive result, so it sort of gave me the confidence to carry on hitting a fade.
Looking back over the year, Matt, what was the best club in your bag?
Good question. I would probably say driver. I actually made the switch to the desert swing to a Callaway and just gave me a little bit more length, but still felt like I kept my accuracy with it, and yeah, I'd have that as a strength, probably.
You're now in a very good position with some time off now before you start again at the turn of the year. You've had a great season, lots to build on, but what's the biggest target in your headlights as you head into 2016?
I wouldn't say I've sat down and thought about it yet, to be fair, Rob. Yeah, I couldn't answer that, to be fair. I think for me, it's just building on last year. Just 10 top 10s would be obviously a great achievement for me again. But yeah, I think I need to just sit down and when I'm sort of getting ready to gear back up for the season and have a think about what I want to achieve next year and plan from there.
But you're a young man just into your 20s, but you can see what some 21, 22, 23-year-olds are doing in the world of golf. So you've got to think big almost straight away. What about Ryder Cup?
Yeah, obviously that is definitely a goal. Obviously it's high on my list, but it's not the be-all and end-all. I'm not sort of focusing everything around that. I'm just trying to play good golf each week, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Yeah, that's just the way I'm trying to look at it, really, as best as possible.
Well, Matt, you must be thrilled with the way you performed this year. You've had a sensational season, almost won Rookie of the Year, and we're really looking forward to, and I mean this, watching you perform, because you play the game in the right way and you play the game at the right speed, Matt. It must be frustrating when you're out there playing with slow players.
Yeah, obviously. I think I'm quite a fast walker as well, so me and my caddy tend to walk ahead quite fast after we've hit, so that sort of helps with if there's anyone in the group that's a little bit slow, maybe it's just get ahead of them, and by the time they've hit, we're already at our ball making a decision what we want to do. So, yeah, that's probably my best way of treating it.
I look forward to seeing you next year as well, Matt, so enjoy a well-earned rest at Christmas.
Yeah, happy Christmas, Matt, from all of us here on the Race to Dubai show, and thanks for spending time with us once again. We'll see you very soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. You too.
Aren't we lucky, Ewan, to have, you know, people like Benan and Andy Sullivan and Matt Fitzpatrick as the new breed, the new ones that are going to take our game forward?
Yes, it's the next era. You look at Lee Westwood and Thomas Bjorn, they've moved into the 40s, as has Darren Clark. And there's always changes. There's always new waves of player comes through. But if you look at the quality of these players, the future's great.
So, Matt, very much a part of the 2015 or the 2015 season on the European Tour. Some amazing stats. First of all, I've never had one, but there were 46 holes in one.
It just shows you how easy it is, Rob.
Oh, how many have you had, by the way?
I have had 17.
Oh, stop it. No, who has 17 and keeps count? 17?
It's very difficult. You lose count. I mean, it's something that was just a regular occurrence.
Well, 17-0. That's the score at the minute. There were five wire-to-wire winners. Brandon Grace at the Alfred Dunhill, Jordan Spieth at the Masters. David Horsey did really well at the Made in Denmark. Oh, nearly 100,000 people there through the week. Incredible. Matthew Fitzpatrick at the British Masters. Andy Sullivan, Portugal Masters. Wire-to-wire is very difficult, Ewan. You can sometimes win because you post a good round, but to lead from the front the first day and keep it going, that's a tough trick.
Well, you're sleeping on these leads. You have an awful long time to think about it, but as I say, these players are so well prepared these days, they can cope with it.
14 first-time winners. That's pretty high.
Remarkable.
16 course records.
Even more remarkable, I would say, given the quality of the golf over the last 20, 25 years.
OK, Ian, we're going to talk about the majors in a couple of weeks' time. So, apart from those, what was your favourite event of 2015?
I think the return of the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports. I thought it was quite late on in the year. Brilliant venue, Woburn, always has been down the years. And I thought that week, television reached a new level covering our sport. And to see a young lad like Matt Fitzpatrick win was the icing on the cake for me. It was a perfect week.
I'm going to counter that with the little links run we have in the middle of the year, just before the Open Championship, the Scottish Open, and the fact that Ricky Fowler came across, played in one of our European Tour events, and won in fantastic style with that majestic finish on the last hole. I'm going to go Scottish Open, but I mean, we're spoilt, really. There's loads of others we could have gone for.
I'm not surprised you went for that, because there's so many great links courses in Scotland that people have never heard of, and Gullen is up there with the very best. I was very fortunate to live my youth there and play on Gullen often. Gullen 1, 2 and 3, and 1, 2 and 3 are all top courses.
How many times did you get banned from playing there for misbehaving?
It was a great childhood, just a great place to play golf.
Yeah, spectacular part of the world, it really is. All right, Ewan, can you confirm the season-ending top 10 in the Race to Dubai?
Headed by Rory McIlroy, and quite a gap at the top, but that doesn't really tell the whole story because it went right down to the wire. Danny Willett was never outside the top two from the time he won the Ned Bank until the time the DP World Championship finished. So it needed a player of the quality of McIlroy to go ahead and take that title. Great years for Brandon Grace, Justin Rose as ever, the ever-consistent Justin Rose in the top four, and Shane Lowry, who won his first World Golf Championship. That was good enough to push him into the top five. Louis Oosthuizen had one of these nearly years. He was so close at the US Open, so close at the Open Championship, having won at St Andrews in 2010. So Louis is in sixth place. Ben Ann, we've talked about, seventh in his very first year, his rookie season. Brilliant performance. Andy Sullivan made the top 10 in eighth place. And making up that top 10, Bernd Wiesberger and Tongchai Jaidi, who just seems to get a little better as the years go on.
He's like a fine wine, isn't he, Tongchai?
Surely is.
A fine Thai wine? Does that exist?
Well, he's a restaurateur. I'm sure he's got a pretty good wine list out there in Thailand, and he'll be doing that for the next month or so. So bringing in some profits there. Some bats will be going into his pocket.
Top South African on our tour was Brandon Grace, a very impressive young player.
Without question. And again, like Oosthuizen, it was a nearly year. So close. How he'd love to have the tee shot at 16 at Chambers Bay over once again. And that was one of these mystery shots that's difficult to explain. It could have hopped to the left, he could have made a birdie, and in the end it was a six and his chances were gone. But he's had a taste of it. He's knocked on a few doors, and if he keeps knocking, one of these major doors will open.
I'm with you. I do think he's going to have a major championship or two to his name before he's finished, that's for sure. And Shane Lowry, the big breakthrough at the WGC at the Bridgestone.
Yeah, European Tour Shot of the Year, the second to 18. He also had a tremendous second at the 10th hole from the left-hand rough there. But he had some of the best players in the world breathing down his neck for that nine. And I've never seen a young player look more comfortable than Lowry was. So he's gone a little quiet from there towards the end of the season, but I'm sure he'll bounce back in 2016.
I wonder if we'll see him with or without the beard next year. What do you think?
I could do without the beard.
You'd like the beard to come off?
Top heavy, don't like it.
OK, get that shaver out, Shane, over the Christmas period. That's the story there. OK, world rankings at the end of this year, 2015, please, Ewan, top 10.
The man that is number one going into 2016, I think, is the undisputed, perhaps, player of the year this year, Jordan Spieth. That wonderful victory in the Masters followed that up with a victory on the west coast of the United States. Jason Day, who won the final major of the year, finally made the breakthrough, having knocked on a few doors there. And McIlroy with that injury hit season, that is the top three. And I don't think you can argue against that. Behind them is Bubba Watson. Been a nice strong finish to the year for him. Stenson didn't manage a victory, but showed tremendous consistency throughout the season. He occupies five. And tucked in behind him is Ricky Fowler, who won up there in Scotland and played some super golf. Brilliant performance in the Players' Championship. A finish at Sawgrass we'll never forget. Seven is Justin Rose. Eight is Dustin Johnson, who I expect to move up that list considerably in 2016. Old Jim Furyk in mid-40s now. He's still inside the top 10. And Patrick Reed, who once said he was a top five player, is a step nearer. He occupies 10th place.
Now, this is brand new. It's about the Ryder Cup and the announcement that in 2022, it will take place in Rome at the Marco Simone Golf and Country Club, which is only 17 kilometres from the centre of the Italian capital. Austria, Germany and Spain had also bid to follow Hazeltine National in Minnesota next year, France in 2018 and Whistling Straits in Wisconsin in 2020 as host of the biennial contest. So big news, Ewan, and Italy will be some sponsor and some venue.
Well, they've been part of the European Tour for many years and they've had some great players, the likes of Baldovino, Dasu, Massimo. You'll remember Massimo back in the 80s. That was around your time.
It was, yeah. Costantino Rocca, of course, who was a great servant to the Ryder Cup.
And they've also hosted the World Cup, Le Quercy, which was very successful at the turn of the 90s. So a very special time for them, plenty of time to prepare, and I'm sure they'll get it spot on.
And a very special city as well, Rome. It should be phenomenal. Now, in other news at the Thai Golf Championship, Welshman Jamie Donaldson has qualified for the 145th Open after winning the Thailand Golf Championship, the second event in the Open qualifying series following the Australian Open. Donaldson sealed a three-shot victory with a 7-under par closing round of 65 to finish 21-under par for the championship, three shots ahead of Frenchman Clément Sordet and the defending champion Lee Westwood, who both secured their places as well at Royal Troon next year. The final qualifying spot was taken by the 16-year-old Thai player Pechara Kongwatamai, who had come through the Monday pre-qualifying event for the Thailand Golf Championship. What a performance that is, Ewan.
Amazing. It reminds me of the lad who qualified for the Masters, Chiang Langguan, and went over there. He was penalised a shot for slow play, but he was 14 years of age. He was hitting fairway woods to most of the par threes and the par fours. And he made the cut. Tremendous. But again, it just shows you that players mature young now. 16 years of age, and he'll be going to Royal Troon, where all the greats have played. I mean, what a week for him.
Yeah, phenomenal, really. It really is. It just shows you what's possible if you've got the skill, and age is no barrier, that's for sure. And on the European Senior Tour, it was double delight for Colin Montgomery as the Scot lifted both the MCB Tour Championship in Mauritius and the John Jacobs Trophy after topping the Tour's order of merit for the second year in a row. Montgomery won the MCB Tour Championship by three shots from David Frost and then immediately set his sights on achieving more success in 2016, particularly the Senior Open Championship, which remains the only major omission on his CV. So he'll be keen to win that one, Ewan.
He will, and it's a golf course that will suit him to a tee. Carnoustie is made for Montgomery. You need to drive the ball well there to get at some of the difficult pin positions they have. He's played there on many occasions in his life too, so he'd be no stranger to the Angus golf course.
And the Hilton Golf of the Month was won by Rory McIlroy after his win at the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. It helped secure a third Race to Dubai crown in 4 years, and it's earned the Northern Irishman the Hilton European Tour Golf of the Month Award for November. Well, that's it for now. What a 2015 season we've had on the Race to Dubai show. Next week, we will be speaking to some of the golfers who secured their European Tour cards on the Challenge Tour or at the Q School. And there are some fascinating tales amongst that lot. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Ewan Murray.
Goodbye.
And myself, Robert Lee. Happy Christmas.